From JMR Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, welcome to Friday.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Yeah,
interesting theme this week, and I'm glad you picked up on it. This retirement sector and the markets, yep. What's going on here?
Yeah, so we're going to focus a little bit on the local markets this morning. Yesterday morning I said that we'd seen six sessions in a row of the NZX 50 falling. Well, of course, it turned around yesterday, didn't it? All we need to do is talk about it, Mike. So we got a bit of a rise, 58-point gain yesterday. But, yeah, the retirement village sector. Now, if we look back to 2016, 17, 18, it was pretty good times for that sector. Share prices generally going up. But, of course, you know, you've got this general underlying demographic situation. It's almost, I suppose, a permanent tailwind for the sector, isn't it? Because the population's got plenty of people getting older. But in the last week, seen a bit of weakness behind the retirement village sector. And it started with Summerset giving an update to the market about a week ago. And it seemed innocuous enough at the start. But the company reported slowing first quarter sales. And it said it was starting to see the impact of a slowing property market in Auckland and Christchurch. Now, there's sort of two issues here, Mike. Firstly, this means that somebody like Summerset can't sell the properties it's developing as easily. But across the sector, it means it's not as easy for people to sell their existing houses so they can move into the retirement village, because that's what you do. You sell your house and you go and buy yourself your retirement unit. So the growth slows. Now, Summerset itself, they remain pretty confident, but they just noted this, you know, flat property market and also increased settlement times. And we know it's taking longer to sell a house in Auckland. Now, there is some anecdotal evidence, Mike. It's unsubstantiated, but there's anecdotal evidence out there that sales incentives are starting to be used more to keep sales moving. I can't, you know, I don't know that. That's just something that it is unsubstantiated, but they're basically pulling the lever on lower village fees and things like that. But what's the damage being done to prices? Well, Ryman Healthcare is down about 7%, MetLife around 10%, Summerset was $6.60 at the end of March, it's now $5.71, so down about 13%. Ryman delivers their full year results in mid-May, so there'll be plenty of tension on that to see whether this is across the sector or whether it's just Summerset.
So we've got flextension. On Brexit, so they can go end of October, Halloween, ironically. Do you think that was deliberate? I think that was probably deliberate.
Yeah, I think it's deliberate.
So it was deliberate. So it's Halloween and they can go if they get a deal. The question, I suppose, is do they get a deal?
Oh, look, I obviously didn't want to go there, Mike, because it's just for fear of repetition. We can't really ignore it, can we? So the EU's agreed to an extension. This allows May to go back to the UK to try and get everyone to agree to a deal no one wants to agree to. So the can has really been kicked down the road, hasn't it? Because we're now going to go back into a situation where there doesn't appear to be way through without somebody agreeing to compromise, and now they've got another 6 months to keep arguing, basically, haven't they? So we've got months more of this, but it does throw a few wildcards in now into the mix that weren't there before, Mike. May the 2nd, UK local elections. So how's the Conservative Party going to go there? Will May survive? Will we get a second election? So you've got political uncertainty in the mix now too. You got European elections on May the 23rd. Now, May doesn't want to go there, so that's her incentive to get a deal done before that. But, I mean, October the 31 just starts to become another target, doesn't it, Mike? Yep. I mean, what they've got is time. Well, what good has time done them? They've had years and they couldn't get a deal done. So why do we assume that if we give them more time, they're going to get a deal done? So June 1st, that starts to become, if the UK doesn't hold European elections, they leave with or without a deal. So markets, Mike, they pretty much priced in an extension. If I look at the pound versus the US dollar, pretty much where it was. We're a little bit weaker against the pound. It's strengthened a little bit around sort of mid-51s. That's sort of flirting with levels we haven't seen since November last year. But we're going to keep yep. talking about it, aren't
yes, we?
We
are, yep. indeed. And in yep. the meantime, let's have some numbers.
26,079 on the Dow Jones. They're down 77 points, which is about 0.3%, so not a big move there. The S&P 500 is down 3 points, so not a lot of change. 2,885 for the S&P 500, and about 0.3% decline in the Nasdaq, 7,940. So relatively settled there. The FTSE 100, that was absolutely blown away by the Brexit announcement. It moved 4 points, 7,417. The Nikkei, 21,711, up up 24. The Shanghai Composite lost 1.6% yesterday, 3189. The Aussies lost 25 points, 6198. We gained 59 points yesterday on the Insidex 50. That's 0.64%, closing at 9766. On the currencies, weaker against the US, 0.6725. 0.9443, also a bit weaker against the Aussie, 0.5975 euro, 0.5149 pounds, 75.04 yen. Gold is trading at US dollars, $1,289.98. Brent crude off a little bit, $70.78. But Mike, where does this leave our bet?
On what?
On Brexit. It's kind of no result, really.
Well, I think we just keep adding glasses.
Yeah.
So have another glass until we'll go for the June one. I see, but the problem is we're going to agree with each other now because you've been more right than I am. I say I have a glass that we're not going to be out by June and you'll agree with me. So we may as well have a glass each, hey?
Yeah, go the Craigie.
Good on you, mate. You have a good weekend. Appreciate it very much. Andrew Kelly. Right, at JMI Wealth, jmiwealth.co.nz.